Church, praise the Lord. Can you do that excitedly? Praise the Lord. What a wonderful privilege to be here this morning. And I want to profoundly appreciate the entire family of the New Covenant Church. It's a privilege to be in your midst. And I am trusting and believing that this encounter will be a blessing to you in Jesus' name. We are in the presence of God, even though I'm speaking professionally. Can we please just have a moment of prayer as we bow our heads? Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for the privilege we have today. You are the author of life, the giver of privileges that no one can give. We thank you for your promises in your words. We thank you for the power of God sustaining us until this moment. We appreciate you for all the benefits we receive every single day. We say, may your name be exalted in the name of Jesus. This morning, as we come before you, we are asking that you will be the one to minister life to our souls and spirit and body in Jesus' name. We thank you because all glory is yours. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. I think you are somewhat a little bit cold this morning. Would you say better? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Today, very quickly, as our pastor has mentioned, we want to look at the theme or the topic, if you like, in times like this. In times like this. Let's look at the Word of God. I have our basis in the Word of God because there is actually nothing anyone will come up with that you cannot find in the Word of God. And when it's the Word of God, it has life, it has spirit, and it has the power to achieve God's purpose for our lives. And I want to let you know that God is interested in our well-being. Our social well-being, our mental well-being, our physical well-being, and he has made provisions for us. But in line with what we have this morning, can we look at Habakkuk chapter 3? Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk, you find towards the latter part of the Old Testament in chapter 3 in verse 16. I read verse 16. It says, when Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 16, it says, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. I'm reading the King James Version. I don't know the version you have, but kindly follow me as I read. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Verse 17, it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stores, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You will rejoice in Jesus' name. Every single day of your life, every moment you have will be moments and days and years of rejoicing in Jesus' name. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. The Lord is your strength. I said the Lord is your strength. And he will make your feet like the hinds' feet, and he will make you and me to walk upon our high places. So shall it be in Jesus' name. In times like this, that topic itself tells us something. If you look around, you'll notice the kind of time we are, time of some pressure, some economic pressure, some social pressure, some problems all around. I don't need to start naming them one by one because we are all here together in this nation and at this time. But what we see is that this time we are in is not uncommon. Look at a years, thousands of years back. This is Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets in the Word of God, talking to us, telling us some of the things that characterize the kind of times like the one we have seen, like economic crisis, social distresses, and some psychological stress, which could take toll on people's lives, family, stability, even people's relationship with God. As a matter of fact, many people are unable to follow God through as they ought because of the challenges in their lives. And one thing the devil so likes to do is to use the challenges and problems that an individual has as a means, an instrument of distraction, so that you don't have time for your God. Habakkuk in our text captured some of these things that characterize the difficult lives that some people are going through that could have negative impact on their mental well-being. He talked about the fig tree not blossoming, talked about the fruitless vines, he talked about fruitless efforts, hunger, business collapse, and economic meltdown. And we see some of these pictures in our own time today. Failed or failing businesses, we see unyielding labor sometimes, the market sales are dwindling, there is inflation, so high cost of things, and there is not enough money to get what you need. Insufficient wages, salaries, people exhausting their life savings and mortgage or rent bills going up, even school fees now. We've all read in the news the government schools are hiking the school fees so high that many people may not even be able to afford. Situations of this kind could trigger psychological distress, most especially among individuals who are psychologically vulnerable. By the way, what does that mean to be psychologically vulnerable? Psychological vulnerability is basically the tendency to break down mentally, a person's tendency, the extent to which an individual could break down mentally as a result of the crushing pressure stemming from difficulties that they face. As much as I know, in a study conducted just this last year, it was found that Nigeria rated one of the highest countries with depression, and most importantly, among youths, just this year, 2022. And although the reasons behind the prevalence of depression, anxiety, and some of these difficulties, psychological difficulties that people encounter today are multifactorial, we understand that this fundamentally points to our psychological vulnerability. It tells us how vulnerable we are as a people. And in times like this one, what exactly should we be doing to keep ourselves, preserve our mental health, make ourselves stay healthy? You will stay healthy. No matter what happens, you see that here, looking at me, by the grace of God, you will stay strong in Jesus' name. I call these the antidote to psychological vulnerability. What specific things could strengthen your mind, strengthen you, no matter what happens around you? And very quickly, because of time, number one, I'll be looking at gratitude. In times like this, be grateful. Somebody say, be grateful. Be grateful. In times like this, be grateful. Gratitude. Gratitude is a fundamental action, behavior, that actually has been found as a protective factor for our mental well-being. And let's take the Word of God. Let's see where the Word of God confirms that before I tell you some other things. In Philippians chapter 4, kindly open your Bible to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7 says, and the peace. Somebody say peace. Basically, that's what we all want. That's what you need. That's what I need. Peace. Peace in the heart. Peace in the mind. Peace in the house. Peace in your academics. Peace in your career. Peace all around you. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind. Your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Now, if you look at that verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. That word careful there means be anxious for nothing. Be troubled by nothing. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Gratitude. Thanksgiving. Paul the Apostle recognized the fact that there are challenges in people's lives that could make them anxious. And that's why he said, be careful for nothing. Even if there are many things around you not lining up with your plans as you would like, be careful, be anxious, be troubled for nothing, by nothing. And then he goes on to let us know that what we should be doing that will enable you to stay strong is be grateful, gratitude. Gratitude. The pressure of the present time directly attacks the mind, so that once the mind is weakened, then the individual becomes vulnerable to breakdown. The pressure, the economic pressure, the social distress that comes our way is fundamentally attacking the mind, so that when the mind is weakened, then the individual becomes vulnerable. However, the presence of gratitude in the mind constantly protects it against the onslaught of the present time. And then you see, the Word of God puts it that it gives you a kind of peace that people, by human understanding, do not expect you will have. As they look at issues, this and that, in your life, they discover that there is something about you. Regardless of what's going on, you are happy. Regardless of whatever is going around, you are still happy. And then, in addition to this fundamental truth, empirical data have shown that when you consciously cultivate a sense and practice of gratitude, feelings of stress and anxiety reduces. That's from Mental Health First Aid just this last year. They found that people who practiced being grateful, they had their mental health better. In fact, let me read as I quote them, a single act of thoughtful gratitude produces an immediate 10% increase in happiness and 35% reduction in depressive symptoms. 10% increase. That time, out of your heart, you say thank you. That time, out of your mind, you appreciate your anything around you, so many things to be grateful for, and you express that gratitude out of you, they found that there is 10% increase of happiness and 35% reduction in depressive symptoms. This implies that if, for example, you could just practice this 5 times in a day, for example, 5 times, you do it out of your heart, you do it meaningfully, then it implies that you will be having a cumulative of 50% increase of happiness every single day. And that will, you know, basically fundamentally protect you. Certainly, gratitude and psychological breakdown do not cohabit. Am I correct? You can't be grateful and be frowning. You can't be grateful and then you are heavy heart and then your face is drawn. Gratitude brings smile. When you say thank you, most likely, you are saying it with a smile. You are saying it with happiness. You are saying it with joy. And when you appreciate God, you look around you, you appreciate God, you see it brings happiness close to you. Fortunately, it is not difficult to be grateful. We only need to realize through thoughtful consideration that no matter how bleak the situation may be, there is always something to be grateful about. Somebody say, I'm grateful. I am grateful. It doesn't matter what's going on. Be grateful. You see, one could make a list of you know, I could start telling you, oh, be grateful because of this, be grateful because of that. But so see, the point is that gratitude is so personal that each of us needs to look thoughtfully into our lives and count our blessings, name them one by one, and only then we will be able to express gratitude that comes from the heart. Being grateful is not just a superficial thing. It's an activity that adds meaning and happiness to one's life each moment it is expressed. And that is how it brings the peace, Paul said. And then you have peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, that passes human explanation, regardless of what is going on. It says you'll have that peace. Now, someone may ask, how does being grateful make sense when everything around me does not seem to line up? You see, there's a fundamental problem of many human beings, and that is ostensible in the question that I have just asked. How can I be grateful when everything around me is not going on well? How do you tell me I should be grateful when everything is going the other way around that I do not expect? You see, the problem in that question is that word everything. You see, when people have problems, they look at their lives and the definition of their lives in the lenses of that problem. And so, if you ask them, how are you? Say, everything is not fine. Is it fine with you? Everything is not fine. You see, the point is this, everything cannot just go bad. It makes it difficult for you to be grateful. It makes it hard. There was a woman in the Bible that she had a son that had just died. You remember that woman? And then she came to the prophet, Elisha, and said, the man of God asked, is all well? What did she say? It is well. The child had died at home. And then she said, it is well. The prophet asked further, how about your husband? She said, it is well. How about the child? It is well. And then, but the countenance was suggesting to the prophet that something was wrong. And then Elisha asked Gehazi to go with her and then find out whatever could be wrong. Eventually, the dead boy came back to life. Praise the Lord. But the fundamental thing is that mentally, what was she saying? It is well. Something was not well, but she said, it is well. And she was grateful. Be grateful. Once again, say, be grateful. Again, be grateful. When you are grateful, it brings about peace that passes all understanding. And it will keep your mind and spirit, as Paul mentioned, in Christ Jesus. So in times like these, be grateful. Number two, the next thing is, in times like these, ask. Somebody say, ask. A-S-K. In times like this, in difficult moments, in times that it appears it's darker, it's bleaker than you had imagined it could be, that the problem is much more than you had thought, in times like this, ask. When stress is mounting, ask for what? Support. Ask for support. You see, stress is all around. So many things are demanding the resources you have. Your mental resources, your physical resources, your financial resources, every kind of resource you have in your life. Stress is fundamentally a demand on your resources. And then when it gets to a point where you no longer have the capacity to respond to the demands, then you experience a breakdown. And that's exactly what stress is. It's like you have a rope. You can stretch a rope by pulling it apart at opposite ends, and the rope will continue to expand for as long as the elastic capacity of that rope can accommodate it. But it gets to a point when if you pull further beyond the elastic capacity of that rope, what happens? It breaks. Exactly that is stress. And therefore, when you are facing pressure, things are mounting up, ask for support. Support could be from God. Ask for support. In that Philippians where I read chapter 4 in verse 6, look at it again. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, in every situation, by what? By prayer. By prayer. How? What's prayer? Prayer means you are asking God, you are asking heaven, you are asking for divine support. And then you can also ask for help from people. You see, sometimes when some people have some problems, they try to keep the problem to themselves because they don't want other people to get to know. And as a result of that, the problem takes the advantage of their keeping the problem to themselves, of not asking for help, to weigh them down. By the time people will get to know, things will have gone overboard. When you are going through pressures, ask for help. Help is always available. And because you ask, the tendency, the chances of receiving support increases. Maybe you ask the first time, you don't get it. Because if you are looking for something, you don't just look one way, and if you don't find it, you stop. If you're looking for your key in your room, for example, you find the drawer, you open the drawer, it's not there, you still go further to look in another direction. You keep asking and seek, and then the third level of asking is knocking. All right? You go to somebody's door, you knock, bam, the first time, you hear no response. Do you just turn away and go? Most likely, you will knock again the second time. Probably, you knock again the third time. You see, when you ask, you are asking. When you seek, you are still asking, a higher level of asking. When you knock, you are still asking, another higher level of asking. You keep asking. Ask for support until you get the support. By prayer and supplication, coupled with thanksgiving with gratitude, the Bible says you get the peace that you want. Number three, because I know that my time must have been far gone, the thought is, in times like this, sow. Somebody says sow. S-O-W, sow. In times like this, be a sower. A sower sows seed. And what's a seed? A seed is something that has life in it and has the capacity to grow. It has the capacity to germinate. It has the capacity to develop. That's a seed. Start doing something that adds value to your life and has the potential to bring personal growth and development. You see, when we don't sow seed into our lives, in the way of acquiring the skill you ought to have, in the way of acquiring the information you ought to acquire, in the way of acquiring what you need that will enable you, empower you to face the challenges that will come ahead of you, when we do not do that, we become vulnerable. We become vulnerable. And I want to say to you students, probably I have students here, you are at any level, it's important that you sow seed into your life, that you acquire fundamental skills in addition to your academic career that will make you, put you in a better position to face the challenges that are coming ahead. The point is that challenges will come. Difficulties will come. Moments of challenge will come. But if you are able to recognize that your life, there are things to be grateful for, your family, seeing a new day, and then the privilege of life itself, that you have a God in heaven who says he thinks about you and he knows you and he has a good plan for you, and then you ask for his help and you talk to right persons and ask for help, and then you sow the seeds that will make you, position you well in life to be able to face the needs of your life, then you'll have the peace of God that passes all understanding. The seed could be, as I said, in the form of a skill or a training that one needs to acquire. And adding skills to your life prepares and empowers you for the demands of tomorrow. People experience stress when they perceive that they do not have what it takes to face the current demands. In conclusion, tough times don't outlast tough people. We become tougher than the toughest times when we practice gratitude, when we make it a daily, meaningful activity. It brings the inner peace that surpasses human understanding, and additionally, by asking for support when we need them and acquiring necessary skills, we'll be able to soar higher like the eagles and stay above the storms of life. I am believing and trusting God that by the grace of God, upon your life, upon your career, upon everything you lay your hands upon, you will prosper. You will succeed. And at the end of your life, it will be joy, it will be happiness, it will be testimony, and a fulfilled life in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. We still have a few minutes for questions. If you want to ask a question or a clarification, can I see your hand up? I mean, it's a privilege for us to have a professional and also a Christian. You can, from his submission, you can tell that this is a Christian. But at the same time, he's also a clinical psychologist, you know. So don't let us form. We don't have them like this all the time. So if you have any clarification or questions, please, can I see your hand up? Yes.
Thank you very much, sir. Mine is going to be a form of addition to what our pastor just shared with us. I also want to share with us, brethren, that when in times that we are going through like this, don't think this situation is peculiar to you alone. Always try and, you know, get consolation from the fact that other people are going through it. I want to share my recent experience of mine. I was trying to grapple with some financial difficulties in recent times. I was thinking about my rent for the office and all those things, and suddenly I learned that my son's school fees has been hiked. Oh, my heart just sank. And I started thinking that, so it's only my son that won't be able to resume with his colleagues. And all of a sudden, some of the parents set up a platform, and I was added to that platform. And I started hearing other people's experience, those who are finding it extremely difficult to take their children back to school. Some people are even suggesting that maybe we should all collectively withdraw our students and so on, and at our words. It now occurred to me, so you are not the only one facing this kind of trouble. It brought a big relief to me. Then I started thinking about the word of God that says, there is no temptation that is coming to you that is not common to man. But God is able to make a way of escape. On that platform, people started making suggestions upon suggestions, and we came to a reasonable conclusion, and by the grace of God, we are finding solution to the problem. And it just dawned on me that, just like the pastor said, a problem shared is half resolved. So please, I want to implore us, brethren, don't think you are the only one going through it. Believe that other people are going through it and they are not dying, and you will not die. May the good Lord help us.
Thank you very much, my SAN. Now, I want you to maybe elaborate on something, you know, and it's also in consonance with what my SAN just said. You said gratitude, ask, and sow. Now, the asking is very important. Ask from God, also ask from the fellow people. How do you identify the right people to ask from? Because if you make a mistake and go to the wrong people, you get deeper in trouble. So, in your professionally, who are the people that you do ask from? Who are the people that we should we should gravitate towards when we want to ask.
When you are asking, you ask the right source. Every one of us has significant individuals in our lives. For example, you have a pastor. As a member of a church, the pastor of a church is one person that you could walk up to. This is my problem. Share the problem with them. Yes, I quite understand that the complexity of humanity, of human beings, but to some extent, you can trust your pastor. Am I correct? You can trust your pastor that your pastor will be able to guide you well. Number two, it also depends on the kind of problem that an individual is facing at a point in time, though. If it's a mental health issue, for example, it's important you walk up to a hospital. If you have noticed that things are mounting up and it appears like you are not getting your balance, walk into a hospital. It has happened many times. Patients walked up to the hospital where I walked and then said they just wanted to talk to a psychologist, wanted to discuss the pressure they were going through. You see, you can talk to professionals in recognized hospitals, government hospitals, for example, where you have the opportunity to speak to professionals. You could talk to a doctor, you could talk to a psychologist, you know. So these are right sources you are can talk to. Or if you have someone you know is a friend and knowledgeable, you trust the friend, you understand, you've been together for some time, and then you know their life and character, and to a very great extent, you are comfortable sharing your problems with them, you can go ahead, all right? But one thing I always say when I advise people in this line is that, number one, when you are talking to anyone, make sure that the person is a close-mouthed individual. In other words, not someone who makes whatever you share with them a topical sentence elsewhere. Then, number two, make sure it is an individual whose, you know, life and character is something worthy of emulation. And then they are knowledgeable in whatever you are asking them. So with this, you should be in safe hands. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pastor. You have a question? Okay. I also have one more question for him.
Thank you very much, sir. Good morning, church. I would like you to shed more light on how to handle social media pressure in this time, and this is for young people. And of course, they tell us to, you know, when you're feeling pressure, stay off social media and all of that, but some people have to use social media every day, okay? For example, if you go on LinkedIn, you know, it looks like everything happening now is not happening to the people on LinkedIn. There is always one achievement and all of that. And as much as you want to, you know, remove yourself from that space, there is still this tiny thought in your heart saying that, you know, this is what somebody is doing, achieving more and all of that. So how do we handle the pressure on social media? Thank you.
Thank you. The use of the social media has been has brought positive impact on many people. It's good. It helps people to connect. It helps people to find the kind of space that is giving them the comfort that they want. But if it's not well managed, it could also be a source of distraction. And so fundamentally, you want to balance things up. Why do you want to go online? And then for what purpose, and what's the kind of people you are talking to? All right, so those are things you need to pay attention to. You go on any social media platform to maybe talk to somebody, share ideas, or you want to learn more. On LinkedIn, for example, there are different courses that people learn, and then just to upskill themselves. So if that's what you are doing, it's quite fine, all right? You are adding value to yourself. So, but if the social media platform where you are is a place where people send different things that don't add value to you, or basically just waste your time. But because you are not finding connection around you, and you are gluing yourself to that, it indicates that there is a problem. Sometimes people use social media so much because the space, the physical space around them is not welcoming, or it's not kind of favorable, or they are not finding a connection they want. And so they just enter their room, the next thing is open up their phones and start chatting or doing all of that. So when things like that happen, basically, talk to somebody. You want to connect to people around you, but you are not finding that connection. Let the people around you know, maybe it's in the family or wherever. And then if what you are doing on the social media is to add value to you, you are learning some courses, somebody is giving you an idea on how to go about some stuff that would basically add value to you, then it's fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Two more questions, but answers will be very quick.
Now, you talk about somebody who has, somebody who is actually going through it. Now, some of them don't even know they are going through it. Some know they've gone through for help, but they may also need help from others who see that they needed help. For example, I have two examples. Somebody knew he is having suicidal thoughts, and he said, it's real. This thing is real. I feel I have these dark thoughts. I feel like killing myself and all that. And he went for therapy, he went for everything, and still, he still ended up killing himself. Despite the fact that he knows, never confessed it. He went on public media, he did everything. Still, you know, the family are there, but still killed himself. Another one said, if I can get anybody to stop me, I will not kill myself. Put it down in writing. And still went ahead and killed, because nobody stopped him on the way. He said, if anybody should just stop me or talk to me, I will stop. Okay, how do you handle such, you know, those who have it, who don't know, those who have it and know, but, you know, there's no way for you to, you know, help yourself.
So my own question is also related to that. Now, how can you identify that you are depressed? How can you identify depression? Because some, like you said, some people don't know. They just believe that, oh, I mean, this life is tilting to them on another side. Is there a way, are there symptoms that you can identify depression?
Just one more. A lady told me just about a week ago, she said, I had a thought to kill all my children and my husband because of what I was going through. You know, he had that thought, you know, and he didn't share it until somebody, you know, was talking about something and she started crying. And that's when she shared this.
So I know there are heavy questions, but can you deal with it in 3 minutes for us because of our time?
All right, thank you. Now, signs of depression, anxiety, and so on. There are a lot of things that people have, but because fundamentally you talk about depression, and that seems to be common, and anxiety. Depression oftentimes comes when you notice that you no longer have interest in things that you previously had interest. Things that you were enjoying before, but it appears like you don't have interest in them. Or it appears like even little activities as to picking up something from one point to another is becoming like a laborious thing. It's like it would need a lot of strength to do it. Something as simple as stepping out to the kitchen to cook or to even pick something and put it in the right place. Or you find yourself sleeping in the bed. You don't want, it's like you should just be there, not wanting to get up to do anything. Or you discover that you are eating excessively or even not eating, not having interest. There are a lot of things that actually could point to depression. But these are fundamental things. But this is not to say that if you experience any of these things, you are getting depressed. Not at all. You don't self-diagnose, all right? But you know yourself. You know your personality. You know your kind of person. If you start noticing changes in you, you start noticing changes in your behavior, and you think, this is unusual, this is not something, this is not me, all right? At that point in time, ask for help. Share it. Go to a hospital, for example, and then they can tell you. Usually, depression is not diagnosed until some of these symptoms have lasted for 2 weeks, and there is no reason. behind them. Like someone is just moody. If you are moody because you lost money, that's quite fine. But if you are just moody, sad, for the past 2 weeks or more than that, and nothing is really, like there's no problem, but the individual is just sad, then that could be signaling. But like I said, do not self-diagnose and do not try to self-treat or self-medicate. Fundamentally seek for help. Now, I understand that there are times someone is sharing their problem, they have suicidal idea, they have shared it, and eventually they still end up killing themselves. The truth is that there is no one who has the absolute solution except God. All right? Only God has the absolute solution. If you walk up to the hospital, they'll give you medication. I've seen cases where medications have to be changed over and over and over so that you find the right treatment for the individual. Because a single treatment does not just work for everybody. There is individualized treatment. It's also possible that people do not get the maximum benefit of the treatment or intervention they receive, probably because they also did not adhere to whatever they are told to do, okay? If you are given medication and you cock it up in your bottle, you don't use it, no matter how powerful, effective that medication is, if you don't use it, it won't work. If you go through therapy and you do not adhere to what the therapist has told you, or you don't follow through, whatever you are told will not work. And so we may not be able to say why that person ended up killing himself or herself, but these are some of the things that I have seen over and over and over again. In fact, from my personal study, I found that failure of people to adhere to recommendations, treatment recommendations, is a fundamental reason problems that shouldn't escalate eventually escalate, like hypertension, like depression, schizophrenia, anxiety, and so on and so forth. The one major reason those problems become issue of complications is that the people involved are not adhering to the treatment recommendations they are given. So many factors play a role. But one thing I do know is that there is help always. And that help, if you have it, you will overcome by the grace of God. And you will have it in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you.